Well, here for God's glory, we often talk about getting better, do we not? Amen. Anybody want to get better?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And getting better incrementally, God's working on me. That all sounds fine and dandy. But sometimes it's also an excuse not to go all the way. There are a few things, there are many things, frankly, that God is not asking us. He doesn't expect us to be incrementally better just than we were yesterday, not incrementally better than those who are in the world that don't have God, who are not saved, who are not new men in Christ and new women in Christ. There are many ways where we are expected to be completely different. Completely different. Distinguishable. I should know the difference. Over there at that law firm, or not law, for you, it's architecture, there should be a difference. There should be a distinct difference. I hope there is between you and the rest of those folks, and it shouldn't just be the substances that you don't abuse that they might. There should be a clear-cut difference. Amen? When we are different, then God is able to shine. And not different just for the sake of being different, but different because you reflect the character of God. Now, when you get saved, you accept the Lord as your Savior and your guide and your leader, do you miraculously change character? Are you miraculously different? Now, you miraculously and immediately have an opportunity to go to heaven and not to go to hell. That happens. But are you suddenly completely different in your character? Do you suddenly change? The answer is no. God paves the way, but you have to make the choice by the renewing of your mind. He doesn't just, oh, you're saved and your mind has changed all of a sudden. If that was the case, we'd be much better now, wouldn't we? We still have fear. We still have anger. We still have all sorts of things, even though we are supposed to be new in Christ. So there's many ways that we should be completely different. Not incrementally. Because there's always somebody that you think is worse than you that makes you feel better about your mess. There's always somebody. And sometimes there's somebody so much better than you that you actually don't want to live up to that responsibility. You don't want the pressure. So you let yourself stay low. You set your sights low. Because you're comparing yourself to them. And then you get all kinds of issues. You get complexes because somebody else seems so far ahead. They've set the bar so high that instead of running your race and coming in first place in your race, you're looking at their race. I can't throw the javelin that far. He only asked you to run 60 meters, not even 100. He asked you to do indoor 60 meters. Why are you worrying about the javelin thrower? Why are you worrying about the muscles, you know, that the hammer thrower has? He asked you to do you. So there's some things that it should be crystal clear that we are completely different. Amen?
Amen?
God paves the way. You have to make the choice. Today we're going to just talk about three of those ways. Tell your neighbor three ways.
Three ways.
Tell them again. Three ways.
Three ways.
God's going to show us three ways that we should be what?
Completely different.
Halfway? A little bit? Completely different. Completely different. And if you can become completely different because God is in your life, now you can start to, you know, have that salt, keep it saltiness. And you can start to be a beacon on a hill. Amen? And guess where we're going to learn this from? We're going to learn this from the book of Ephesians. How about that? We're going to learn it from the book of Ephesians, three ways that we should be entirely different from the world so that we can be salty. And we're praying for the safe travel of Sister Carrie as she has to leave. Amen? So are you ready to be completely different? Are you ready to stand out in the crowd for God? I didn't hear you. Amen. Are you ready to be completely different? Amen. Are you ready to be completely different? Amen. Are you ready to be completely different? Are you ready to be completely different? Are you ready to be, hi there, little one, completely different? Miles, are you ready to be completely different? Are you ready to be completely different and awake? Mm-hmm. That's what God wants to talk about today. Amen?
Amen.
He wanted to talk about it so much, he gave it to me on Tuesday. Just like that. Now, last week, we ended the message at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul told the Ephesians they should walk worthy of their calling that is on their lives. And each one of you has a calling, not just the preacher, not just the pastor. You have a calling on your life. You have a call to use your gifts to impact the world in a positive way. Amen? For the betterment of the world, for the saving of souls, for the edification of the saints and the church, and for the glory of God. So our text will be the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 28. And some of you all have read this not that long ago, so you could preach this sermon. Maybe I should get you up here. Piece of cake is easy peasy, as you know. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 28. Say amen when you have it.
Amen.
So we begin at 17. This I say, therefore, this is Paul speaking, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, meaning into the future, that ye walk not as other Gentiles walk. So Gentiles were seen as wayward. They were seen as less than. They were seen as separate from God. They were, because they weren't Jews, they were less than by the religious people. That's the same way that we could view those who are not in Christ. But it's one thing for you to be separate from them in a religious sense, but are you separate from them in a real life sense? Is your character better than theirs? Are your decisions any better than theirs? Are your finances any better than theirs? Are your intentions any better than theirs? He says that you walk not as other Gentiles walk. I know you're among them, but you should not live like them in the vanity of their mind, meaning the empty purposelessness. When you make your decisions about whether to buy a house or whether to buy a car or whether to spend this money or whether to live here or go there, guess what? I can't live anywhere else. Why? Because my purpose is here. I could live in other places. I could transfer. But guess what? I'm anchored. This is where God wants me to be. So he's saying, don't live like people who are purposeless. So if somebody said, hey, I got a deal over here. Well, it's a deal. It's going to help me financially. It'll help my career. Well, that's purposelessness. The vanity of their minds, the empty purposelessness, the futility and ineffectiveness of their thinking. You can't be different. You won't be different until you think differently. You've got to think it before you can be it. You are different because of the renewal of your mind. As a man thinketh what? So is he. So don't be like those people in the vanity of their minds. That's why they walk the way they walk, and you should not walk the way they walk. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart. What is he saying here? He's saying their heads and their hearts were hard because of pride. Anybody here got a little pride? It can make you hard-headed. Anybody in here hard-headed? Mm-hmm. Have you found out how soft your behind can become with that hard head? Mm-hmm. Hard-headed and hard-heartedness leads to ignorance. You cannot know what you could know about getting through life successfully because you cannot or will not hear. So now you're ignorant because your heart was too hard or your head was too hard. And because of the ignorance, then you become alienated, separated from your true sense of sustenance. You can be rolling real nice, but your heart's too hard, or your head's too hard. So then you lack the information and you're alienated, separated from that wonderful, beautiful source. That's true naturally, and it's true spiritually. Don't walk like them. Don't live like them. Don't have the woe is me's like them that you don't have to have. Yes, deal with, as Pastor Trina said, the difficult situations that you must go through, that God will allow, and yet he will always see you through, and you'll come out like a shiny penny. You come out, you start as cold, and you end up as a diamond. But because of their heads and hearts, they were hard due to pride. It creates ignorance, and ignorance leads to alienation. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 19, we're still talking about the Gentiles, right? The unsaved Gentiles. We're still talking about you at your worst. We're still talking about you without God. He's saying, don't do this. And it's one thing to say, don't do something. It's a whole other thing to tell somebody what to do. Amen? So who, being past feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and what? With greediness. Being past feeling means they were no longer sensitive. It didn't even bother them that they were doing stuff that they should not be doing. It no longer bothered them. It no longer mattered to them that much what God really wanted. What mattered to them, what they were sensitive to, were the yearnings of their flesh. That's what they were sensitive to. They weren't sensitive to what God wanted. They weren't sensitive to what people needed. And they had no problem. They were able to feel good about it. And there's some folks that actually go to church often that have the same problem. That's a sad thing. Now remember, he's writing to Christians, right? And he's telling them, don't be like those other folks, which means that they have the potential or the likelihood that somebody was actually in the church at Ephesus and yet still being like the Gentiles. They hadn't had their minds renewed. They still had stinking thinking. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. You didn't learn like that. You didn't learn to let your flesh lead and God follow. You didn't learn from Christ that you just snap your fingers and God's supposed to do whatever your black heart thinks should be done. You didn't learn that from Christ. He didn't teach you that. Now, you can take a little snippet of what he said and misrepresent it, but you did not learn that. Not from Christ, you didn't. He says in verse 21, so if so be that ye have heard him, meaning have you heard Jesus? And have been taught by him, if there's some things you can do, and somebody that knows this church well and knows me well, they'll say, no, there's no way he told you that. There's no way he taught you that. There's no way he condoned that. There's no way he recommended that. And having been taught by him, as the truth is in who? Jesus. We're not taught by Jesus to act that way. We're taught we should be very, very different. Amen?
Amen.
We should be more like him and less like the world. Verse 22, still driving this point home, that ye what? Read it. Wow. Now, it sounds like we just wah, 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 right? Sometimes you can hear it that way. Did you hear what he just said? This is huge. He said that, because he's been telling you what you should not do, but if you've really heard from Jesus, that ye, this is what Jesus has taught you, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, that you walk away from that other life. You're still trying to dibble and dabble in it. You're still trying to hang out with the folks that you think you love and love you. But really, this is going to bring you down. They take you back to your former conversation. They take you back to that life. If you really change it in your mind, you say, I know I need to be there. If I stick with them, I'm going to be stuck here. So I'm not ignorant. And because I'm not ignorant, I can actually make a choice, and my actions, as Sister Laquisha said, will reflect that. The new man is a changed man. He says, put off, to throw off your former conversation. How many of us have truly separated ourselves from our past? That was the old man, which is corrupt, meaning meaning spoiled, meaning disintegrating, meaning it's actually decaying, amen? Amen. Rotting. He says, according to the deceitful lusts. Now, what are lusts? Lusts are not just physical lusts. Lusts comes from the word that means passion, okay? And what people always do what? What they really want to do. You do what you're actually passionate about. You do what you really feel on the inside, what your flesh drives you to do. But what he's talking about is those things that you are driven to do that God says you shouldn't be doing. Something that you are driven to do, but God does not approve. Something that you're driven to do, but God said no. What he's saying is that those lusts are deceitful. All of us have been deceived by a lust. All of us have been driven to do something, compelled on the inside. We felt compelled, not by God, but by our flesh. We justified it. We thought about it. We made up a reason. We came up with a way, a case, to do what we wanted to do, even though God didn't want us to. And Satan allowed us to believe, and we knew that it felt good for a minute. We felt like we were ahead. We felt like we were getting over. And oh, certainly we got the feeling that we wanted. Oh, we got the physical gratification that we wanted. Oh, we got the folks looking at us like we're special. We got the accolades that we wanted. We got the titles that we wanted. We got somebody looking at us and we're getting out of a fancy car that we can't afford that we wanted. We got all that. Satan made sure that the housing market was going up so you can go into great debt, that when it turned the other way, you were going to be upside down. He made sure that he financed our sin. But those lusts are deceitful. They bait you and switch. What the lusts don't tell you in the fine print, and what Satan won't tell you while he's whispering in your ear, encouraging you and giving you all the great justifications that you tell folks, that the pain and the ruin that's on the other side. He tells you about all the goodness that's going to happen that night in the dark, but he don't tell you about the morning. He don't tell you how it's going to feel when you wake up. He don't tell you how it's going to feel when the sun comes back up and the light's shining on your life. So he says you should be putting off that former man, that old man, which is corrupt. He's dying. He's spoiled. He's decaying according to the deceitful lusts. He tells you how good it's going to feel. He tells you how popular you're going to be. He tells you how great you're going to look. He tells you how much people are going to look up to you. He tells you how much money you're going to have in the short term, but he don't tell you how you're going to be ruined. He doesn't tell you how you're going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to pay the piper for your sin. Amen? Amen. Sin being anything outside of the will of God. And we can dress stuff up and try to make it the will of God. But no, that's not what Jesus taught. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. He does not disclose the fine print. I stayed up late last night, not because I had to for the ministry, not because I had to at least for the word. Remember, I told you God worked a miracle this week. He showed me what he just showed a little bit of what he can do. The reason I stayed up late is because I was reading that contract, that lease contract that's about that thick. Mm-hmm. I have to prepare sermons, and I also have to be a president, a president and CEO. And all that contract is based on my credit, okay? I'm the one. We're the ones that are on the line. So I better read it, right? Amen. Amen. All of that is being a servant of God. All of that is being a bond servant of Christ. All of that is part of being a slave to Christ. It's not just preaching. It's not just counseling. It's whatever God has called me to do. Same thing with you. Amen. Amen. It happened this morning. The two brothers, one was manning the door, and then brother Jason kind of gave me a little look. I was getting over here. I was getting ready to do the little prayer. If there's nobody else to do it, I'm just going to jump right in. I just looked over. I knew exactly what that look meant, and I stepped to the side. Next man up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I could shout for that. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. He goes on to say in verse 23, and be what? Are you guys with me? To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye what?
Put on the new man.
Mm-hmm.
Which after God is
created
in righteousness and true holiness.
Uh-huh. So you need to put off this corrupt man that's deceived by his flesh, right? And put on the new man that's no longer deceived, that's not in ignorance, that walks in the beauty of holiness. The new man thinks differently, and his thoughts match a godly character, amen? Shaped in the image of Christ. So now we'll get to those three ways. You're like, Pastor, when are you going to get to those three ways? Amen? Three ways that we should be what? Completely different. Amen. So let's get to verse 25 and I'll move more quickly. He says, wherefore, putting away what?
Lying.
Oh, Lord, lying? Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now, understand the context. He's talking about the Christian community. Oh, you shouldn't lie outside, but we're talking about inside. Mm-hmm. Putting away lying. Oh, you thought he was just talking about fornication and all this old kind of stuff, right? Drunkenness. Uh-oh, but what about this? Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? For we are members, what? One of another. When you lie to each other, you're either saying, I don't really have your best interest at heart, or you're saying, I don't really believe you have my best interest at heart, so I gotta lie to protect myself. Amen?
Amen?
So in selfishness, we lie. But if we are truly members together of the same body, I'm the hand, you're just the foot. You're the nose, I'm just the ear. If you lie to one of those that are part of your own body, then you inflict the pain onto yourself. You're hurting yourself. It doesn't make any sense. What if you were lying to yourself? Is that a good thing? No, we do it. We rationalize. We lie to ourselves. But is that ever good? No, it's not. So he says, don't do that. If you are members of the same body, then you're just hurting yourself. If you're truly bonded to someone, then you should not lie to them. And you would not. If you're truly bonded to them, then you know they have your best interest at heart. You can actually tell them the truth even when it's painful, even when it exposes you as imperfect. But when you're not truly bonded, then you lie. And so because we lie, that means we are not truly bonded. Because we do lie. Sometimes I put off talking to somebody about something, not because I'm afraid, because I'm not ready to give them an opportunity to lie to me. When are they lying? When their lips start moving. And they're lying with the stuff they leave out. Amen? So he says, okay, if you want to be, here's some ways that you should be different. Did he say approximate? Did he say only lie less than the people in the world? Did he say just lie less than you used to lie? He says, you should stop lying. Are you ready to be better? Are you ready to be different? Are you ready to be completely different? So guess what? The world can lie. The old you can lie, but you shouldn't be lying. So guess what? You don't have ignorance now. So the next time you lie, you're going to zap you. Amen? Amen? The second way, verses 26 and 27, be ye what?
Angry.
It's all, we know you're going to be angry, But what? Sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means anger or irritation. Neither give place to the devil. When your anger or your irritation simmers for too long, you know what it eventually does? It boils. And when it boils, then what? Oh, yeah. Now everybody's in trouble. Amen? Because your passions are going to be on full display. Satan loves it. When you are passionate, when you are enthralled in righting what you feel is a wrong that's been done to you, and that's your focus, when your enemy is somebody that's supposed to be your friend, when your spouse is your enemy and they were supposed to be your bestest friend, oh, he loves it. He loves it. Then we let our flesh take over. And that's where sin comes from. Amen. He says, anger and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Satan loves it and he helps encourage us in this, in these dreadful acts. While God is telling us, fix it. Fix it before the sun goes down. Swallow your pride and fix it before the sun goes down. Swallow your pride. Put the fire out before it spreads. That's what God says. Satan says, no, don't tell him. Let it simmer. Let you sit there and say, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I should be. Yeah, girl, you absolutely right. Oh, now you got more fuel. Oh, yeah. And then you justify it. And then finally, when one little thing is said or when the situation comes up, boom, where did it start? Way back days, weeks, months late, before. You ready to be completely different? Handle things quickly. Particularly among those that you labor with, those that are members of the same body. If you start feeling a certain, some kind of way, you should deal with that quickly. You might find out you're wrong at least half of the time. But you let it simmer, and then it comes to a boil. And Satan loves that. Amen? Put the fire out while it's small. So you ready to be different, completely different? Stop lying. And put them fires out quickly. The third way, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. That sounds simple, right? But rather, here's what I don't want you to do. But here now I'm going to tell you what you should do. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. We're talking about the old man, the carnal man versus the new man. That word labor means to toil. It means to work so hard that you're exhausted. You ever work so hard you're exhausted on something? You work so hard in the kitchen. Now you're looking at the man trying to see how fast he's going to eat it and how happy he's going to be and how quickly he's going to tell you it's wonderful, awesome, the best he's ever had. When you work so hard, it builds up expectations. Expectations of something that you deserve as a result of your hard work. Maybe it's just pay. Maybe it's accolades. Maybe it's appreciation that should be shown. But when you work hard, maybe it's just rest. Leave me alone. I need to sleep. But when you work hard to the point of exhaustion, expectations come. You understand what I'm saying? He says, steal no longer, but instead, I want you to work really hard. Why? So you can have what you need? No. Interestingly, he says, let him that stole steal no more. So here's what I'd rather you do. I'd rather you labor, work, and toil till your hands are exhausted, till you're exhausted with your hands doing something good, legal. Why? So that you can give to those who need. The carnal man, here's the point, can justify stealing. He can justify taking from someone else to meet his own need. There's a certain mindset that goes there, that I have a need, therefore I can justify my actions. They have more than they need. I have less than I need. He can justify. Whereas the new man is compelled by God's character in him to actually be concerned about someone else. He's compelled. He feels compelled to give to others in need. Do you understand what he's saying here? It's not just about stealing. He's talking about why you steal. I don't know if you're getting this, and I feel bad about that. The carnal man focuses on what he or she deserves. But the God man, the godly mindset causes you to think of how you can help others. So if your mindset is, how can I get to the point of helping others? You're not going to steal. Now, this ain't no Robin Hood thing. Jesus didn't teach us to be Robin Hood. He's talking about your character. Don't steal anymore. Because what I want you to do is I want you to get something legal. I want you to work hard at it. And when you're exhausted and you deserve to reap what you've sown, I want you to be thinking, focusing mostly about how I can help someone else with what I earned. I earned my credit with God's help. I earned whatever I have. Yet I'm willing to put it up at risk so others can be helped. I can say, I earned this. I get my tithes and all that. That should be enough. Different mindset. God's work. This is all about how you view yourself versus your fellow man. Are you selfish or are you a giver? Are you selfish and can you justify selfishness? Or are you on the road to selflessness, spiritually and otherwise? So these three things have something in common. You notice that the old man focuses on self, whereas the new man focuses on what God wants and what benefits others. Amen? Amen. The old man sees himself as isolated. It's about me, 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 separate from others. Whereas the new man understands that he is part of a whole. He is one member of a whole. And so he knows that he can't do anything without it affecting somebody else, and he cares about that. He cares about the impact that his actions, his thoughts, his way of communicating and living his life will affect others. Amen? Amen. We're not living in isolation. We're part of a body. We're part of a community. That's the way it's supposed to be, at least. So let's not lie to each other as if we are separate, and even worse, as if we are enemies. Let's not allow our anger to simmer and then eventually come to a boil, which leads to sin and causes hurts that sometimes can never be recovered from. And let's not feel like we can justify a selfish mindset. That's not being different. That's being just like you were when you met Jesus. That's being just like the world. And it doesn't allow you to stand out like you should in the way that you should. So we should be completely different in these ways. and the world should be able to tell the difference. Amen? We serve a big G God, an OG God, that should be distinguished out in the world because of us. We should maintain our saltiness. We should maintain the light that shines like a beacon upon a hill. And when we do that, then our God is glorified. Amen. Now, what I just told you is not, some of it's kind of new, but it's mostly not. It's the same story over and over again. It's the same teachings over and over again with a little bit of emphasis here and there. But you now have three ways that you know, based on the word, that you should be different. You should not be lying. Amen? Yeah. Is that hard? When was the last time you lied? How many minutes ago was it? Or can we go hours? Most of us can't go that many days, if any days. Now you know you shouldn't be lying. Amen? You knew, but now you really know, amen? And you shouldn't be selfish. Right. Amen? Amen? And you can't let your anger get the best of you. Amen. Can you handle those three things? I could have kept going. The Bible does keep going. So we're going easy on you with just three things. Amen. Let's all stand.